This episode of Who Would Win is brought to you by Valiant Comics and their epic new series, Exo Manowar, with issue number one available next week. Contact your local comic shop to see how you can get your copy of the can't-miss issue of Exo Manowar, or pick it up digitally by visiting Comixology. Okay, I've been telling people about Exo Manowar for a while, and the best way I can describe the character without giving away too much is by saying Exo Manowar is what you get when you put Conan the Barbarian into Iron Man's armor and give him a much better backstory. Look, whether you're into supernatural horror, globe-trotting adventure, comedy, sci-fi adventures, or even cyberpunk dystopias, you can bet Valiant Comics has a story for you. Do yourself the biggest favor ever and check out Valiant Comics at valiantentertainment.com.
While traveling down a beaten road in the back ways of a rural village, the Witcher known as Geralt of Rivia continues his journey. The voice of a bard rings out, "Toss a coin to your Witcher!" But the voice stops short as a lone figure stands on a bridge, blocking the way. Geralt turns to his traveling companion and beckons him to stand aside. The masked figure on the bridge faces Geralt, and the Winter Soldier tilts his head to the side. "I'm here for you, Witcher," he calls out. Muttering a curse word, Geralt unsheathes his steel sword and prepares for battle. It's the Butcher of Blaviken versus Bucky Barnes. It's the White Wolf versus the White Wolf. It's Geralt of Rivia versus the Winter Soldier today on Who Would Win.
Welcome to another episode of Who Would Win, a show that completely ignores anything important happening in the world and instead focuses on a fictional battle between two characters from the worlds of comics, sci-fi, and fantasy. I'm your host, James Gavsey, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Ray Stecanis. Ray, we've been talking about using The Witcher in an episode of Who Would Win for what seems to be like over a year.
I would say yes to that, and I would say one of us has been talking about using The Witcher for an entire year, and the other one is named James Gavsey, and he says, "Oh no, I can't possibly fight The Witcher. I'll lose that battle, Ray." But finally, I convinced you to do it here in main event country.
Ray, when did you get here?
Oh, I've been here.
I just didn't notice. Okay, yeah. Cool. Sorry, which character are you using again?
This is Geralt of Rivia, a.k.a. The Witcher, a.k.a. The Doom of James Gavsey.
Fair enough. I did watch The Witcher on Netflix. Great, great series.
It's pretty good.
It is. The problem is, I know there's a whole lot more to this character that I'm...
Oh, is there?
There may be, and
oh,
you may
shoot.
Reveal it. I'm going to use the winner of this battle, the Winter Soldier.
Interesting.
Yeah, and I think these characters actually match up very, very well.
I actually agree with you 1,000%. As much as I would like to throw some bravado, and I will... I absolutely think that Bucky Barnes brings a certain technology aspect to it, as well as some future combat training to the table, whereas The Witcher, also expertly trained, as I'll get into in one of my points here, but he brings magic to the table. So in the classic crossing of styles, magic versus science, here we are.
You know what? I got to tell you, I agree with everything you're saying other than what you just said. I think this is actually a one-sided battle for the Winter Soldier.
Interesting.
I'm, of course, going to prove it. Now, let's just get to it. We have an amazing guest judge for the show. Someone making their first appearance on the Who Would Win show. It's fitness authority, best-selling author, and entrepreneur extraordinaire. It's the one and only Jennifer Cohen. Jen, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. This is going to be a very unique and fun experience. I've never thought in a million years I would be judging this type of thing. So,
well, we spoke a little bit beforehand. It turns out we're both from the same town in Canada, which is kind of incredible.
I can't believe it. We're both born in Ottawa.
I know. I'm not sure if that troubles me or if that's like kind of a cool thing. I don't know. But I will say I'm really impressed by how much knowledge you have of both characters. Tell me, what was your favorite book of the Witcher series that you were telling me about?
The third one. Yeah.
Oh, that's the best one.
That is the best one.
Yeah, best one.
You didn't like the fifth one? That was not your thing?
It wasn't as good as the third, even the fourth, actually.
Very cool. Yeah, and you know what? We actually share the same amount of knowledge for The Witcher, by the way.
Yeah.
And The Winter Soldier, clearly, were you more of a fan when he was Bucky Barnes, or did you like the transformation to Winter Soldier? What was your favorite part? Uh-oh, she's bringing in an expert to tell us.
I am. I'm bringing in my connoisseur, who is my 7-year-old boy, Dylan, who is definitely an aficionado here. So what do you think, Dylan?
I probably liked it when he transformed. because on the show we got to see like how like they put on the arm and how they did all that technology, and I thought it was really cool.
Dylan, clearly you're a genius, and you're also destined for massive success, probably going to be a billionaire before you're 20. Just want to say it's really good to have you here. Thank you. I think we're on the same page that we both think Winter Soldier is probably going to be an awesome character. All right, I think we should actually just get to the battle right away.
Let's do it.
Ray, please do us the honors and announce today's matchup.
Representing Polish literature and CD Projekt Red, the monster hunter who got more tail than a Vulpix Pokemon, Geralt of Rivia. And representing the Marvel Universe, the assassin who's always carrying a weapon because he never wants to be disarmed ever again, the Winter Soldier.
Really, Ray?
Went for it.
There you go. All right. Now, before we go any further, let's go over the official rules of a Who Would Win match. Now, rule number one, each debater will be able to make 3 points. Rule number two, the Who Would Win match is a random encounter in a neutral location with neither combatant necessarily knowing anything about their opponent or having any time to prepare for it. Rule number three, the exact version of the character has to be specifically stated. So, Ray, what version of The Witcher are you using?
Okay, so I'm going to be using officially the video game version of The Witcher. However, the novels have a couple of feats that I wanted to pull from, and I checked into the canon of the character, and essentially the novels lead up into the video games kind of directly, as if the video games were just the next chapters of the novels. So I think it's perfectly okay to say it's all one continuity and timeline, so I'm going to stick to that. But it's going to be primarily video game feats here.
Very cool. I actually love that about, you know, when the comics and, you know, video games and books all kind of are canon to each other. So I think that's fantastic. I'll be using the comic book version.
I am stunned.
Surprise, surprise, Ray, of the Winter
James
Soldier.
James Gavsey uses the comic book version? Since when?
I know, it's crazy. Now, rule number four, the winner of the Who Would Win debate is whomever the judge decides has the best ability to incapacitate their opponent to the degree where they can safely walk away with no further threat being present. This includes completely destroying their opponent, removing them from the field of battle, restraining them, or knocking them out. The Who Would Win battles are not necessarily death matches. Rule number five, the judge can disallow or veto a point made by one of the debaters if they feel it goes outside of the scope of the battle or is irrelevant to the fight. Rule number six, last one, each debater must use examples of powers, abilities, or weapons that are part of the specific character's continuity or at least was with that character for a good deal of time. Ray Stekanis, who used Unicron from every singular universe that ever appeared in.
I can't believe you still bring that up because it was a true statement. It's still a true statement. I won. Deal with it.
Yeah, some things sit well with me. That's not one of them, Ray. And I'm going to get you back. Sooner or later, I'll get you back. Okay, now.
We keep hearing.
Let's get to the tale of the tape for both of our combatants. Today's tale of the tape is brought to you by Who Would Win t-shirts. Accept no imitations. Find the official Who Would Win shirts on Amazon by typing in hashtag Who Would Win. Ray, please give us the details on The Witcher.
Geralt of Rivia is a witcher or traveling monster slayer who was created by Andrzej Sapkowski, maybe I got that right, and
well
first appeared in the novel The Witcher back in 1986. Geralt gained more fame in the world of video games, however, and is now the star of his own Netflix original TV show, played exceptionally by Superman actor Henry Cavill. He's really good. Geralt is the son of a powerful sorceress and a feared warrior, and he, through his training as a witcher, has undergone several mutations and is also adept with using magic. As a witcher, Geralt travels from town to town, offering his services to the people as a monster hunter for hire, protecting all the villagers from all the horrors of the night. Geralt is not very interested in matters of humans or their politics, and tends to try to keep things simple without involving himself in the petty squabbles of other people, at least as best he can. Fun fact, the Geralt of Rivia is not actually from Rivia. Yes, since most witchers are orphans who never knew their parents, they typically only go by one name. However, Geralt's teacher Vesemir encouraged his students to take on an additional name to sound more trustworthy to the people. Geralt, unable to come up with anything acceptable, his last choice was Geralt Roger Eric Duhaut Bella Garcia. And that was terrible. He just stuck his knife randomly in a map of the region, which hit Rivia, so he just decided that's where he was from that point forward. And that is Geralt of Rivia.
Wait. Say his name again, because that's supposed to be French, right?
Yes. He thought it sounded really fancy and foreign and sort of exotic if he tried to tell people his name was Geralt Roger Eric Duhaut Bella Garcia.
Okay, so I'm not going to judge you on that because we actually have a judge who can do that, who's from Ottawa, French-speaking Ottawa. Vous parlez français?
Oui.
Okay, perfect. How good was his French? As a judge, how would you judge his, you know, raised French on that little...
I would give him a 5 out of 10.
I would take that, especially given that this character exists in a world where there is no France.
What do you know?
So right. That's how he pronounced it.
Very cool. All right, now here are the details for The Winter Soldier. The Winter Soldier, a.k.a. Bucky Barnes, was created by Jack Kirby and Joe Simon and first appeared in Captain America Comics number 1 way back in March 1941. He first appeared as The Winter Soldier in Captain America number 1 back in January of 2005. Now, Bucky Barnes enlisted in the Army during World War II at the age of 16. A great natural fighter, he was partnered with Captain America, a.k.a. Steve Rogers, and received extensive combat training. He played two roles. One was to be a role model for American youth, and the other was to act as a black ops agent to do the ruthless missions Steve Rogers couldn't do because, of course, you know, a 16-year-old, that's the perfect role for them in World War II. Before the war ended, Bucky was believed killed in a plane explosion rigged by Heinrich Zemo. However, Bucky had survived, with his body found by the Soviet Union. Given a cybernetic arm to replace the one he lost in the explosion, he was brainwashed by the Soviets in order to become the perfect assassin and would go on to perform wet work for Russia, barely aging thanks to cryostasis. He would meet Steve Rogers once more in the 21st century on a mission to kill the Red Skull, and Steve Rogers would use the cosmic cube to restore Bucky's mind, where once remembering his past, he sought to atone for his ill deeds while under mind control. And here's an interesting fact about the Winter Soldier. Did you know that Stan Lee was not a fan of Bucky Barnes? It's true. He hated the idea of the young teenage sidekick as he thought it to be irresponsible for a supposed hero to intentionally endanger the life of a child by allowing them to accompany the hero on dangerous missions. Stan Lee's hate for sidekicks is what many believe to be the reason behind Bucky's abrupt end and expulsion from the Marvel Universe. And now you have the facts on both opponents. Jennifer, do you have any questions before we get started?
No, I have no questions. Oh, we haven't started yet?
We haven't started yet.
Oh, God. Yes. No, I have no questions.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah, no. I'm thinking, like, yours is much more easily digestible for many reasons. Can you just win, or I have to go through the whole thing?
You have to go through the whole thing.
Oh, okay.
All right, here we go. Ray, hit us with your point number one.
Point number one for Geralt of Rivia. I just want to talk a little bit about the basics of who this character is, what is a Witcher, and maybe that can help cross that bridge for you to understand where we're coming from here.
Yes, that'd be great.
So a Witcher is essentially a human who undergoes a series of trials. And think of it sort of like, there was an X-Men mutation thing where they forced mutations on people and then they kind of just developed powers through that. That's sort of what happens with the Witcher. So in his case, he underwent more of that stuff than any other person had because he was so strong. So they just kept throwing it at him because his parents were a very powerful warrior and a sorceress. So he had sort of that innate strength inside of him. So he ended up going through more mutations and getting more powers than any other one of these traveling monster hunters does. So, what does that mean? It means that he has superhuman strength, superhuman agility, speed, as well as endurance. Now, we're not talking about the Flash levels, but he's definitely faster than your typical Olympian. He's definitely stronger than your typical, like, weightlifter. And some examples of what all of that does. He once fought a bear out in the woods, a big old grizzly bear, you know, one of these 10-feet tall bears. He pulled back, punched him once in the face, and knocked that bear unconscious with just one shot. That's the type of raw strength he's bringing to the table. And if he can punch a bear who's 10 feet tall and a freaking bear, and he can knock him out, what's going to happen when he gets one punch on a human being named Bucky? I'm just asking the questions. Additionally, he has a resistance to all poisons as well as diseases. That's sort of a natural thing that all Witchers get, because if you don't obtain that power, you will die. A lot of the Witchers, I believe 7 out of 10, die through this training process because they're just not strong enough to handle what it does to your body. Also, he has exceptional powers of regeneration, which means when Bucky starts attacking him, he can take those blows and he can come back strong and he can recover from them very, very quickly. Last few things here, he fought a cave troll. Cave trolls, again, big old monsters. You remember the trolls from Lord of the Rings, perhaps? They're sort of on par with those. And he took those guys out with his bare hands. You know, he didn't even need a weapon for that. And another example that I wanted to give here is he has enhanced senses. So sort of like he has enhanced hearing and sight and smell, which allows him to be a great tracker. This helps him in tracking monsters down in the woods so he can fight them. One of the examples is there were elves, we're familiar with elves, and they were hiding up in the trees with their arrows. They were archers, and he could tell just by the sound of their breathing, even though he couldn't see them, he could tell, one, how many elves were up in the trees, and two, that one of them was sick. So if it comes down to a battle of sneaking up and surprising each other, Bucky has zero chance at sneaking up on this particular character. The last thing I do want to mention, I said before, but I lied, is the fact that he's over 100 years old and he's a master swordsman. And he's the kind of guy who spent all of his time training for combat when he wasn't fighting monsters. So he's a very serious fighter. He's somebody who spent an inordinate lifetime of training. And that's why he's wonderful with a sword. That's why he's an exceptional opponent for Bucky. And that's my point number one.
All right, I got to tell you. So, yeah, that's a really good, strong point. I do have to admit that. And I love the character more and more. Here's a question, though. Who has he faced? And I'm actually asking this out of curiosity. Who has he faced that's kind of like on par with a, you know, Superman?
On par with a Superman type yes. character? Well, those characters don't exist in this world. And thankfully, neither has Bucky, but I'm sure you're going to lie to us about something later.
Can I ask a question?
Absolutely.
Am I allowed to?
Yes.
Okay, my question, so comparatively speaking, so like the Hulk or like someone like
sure.
that, where does his strength compare?
I would compare his strength to a Captain America type character.
Like
I think
Captain
that's very
America.
Fair. Captain America is like slightly above what we would refer to as peak human.
Right.
And I think that it's very fair to say Geralt belongs in that class.
Okay.
All right. Now, if I may, without cutting you off, I actually do have... Okay, so he's never faced a superhuman, like, Superman character, because they don't exist in that world. But other crazy characters do exist. So, let me get to my point number one, okay? Which is, Winter Soldier has crazy powers, too. You know, the Witcher's powerful. He's awesome. There's no doubt about it. But the Winter Soldier has a lot of different abilities and powers that are more than the match for the Witcher. And let me give you an example. He's got enhanced durability, and I think this is the real big difference between the two. The Winter Soldier is able to withstand like punches and kicks and shots from superhuman foes like Spider-Man and one character named Hyperion, who's like the Marvel equivalent to Superman. So he's actually taken punches from that character. It hurt him, but he got up, healed very quickly. He was good to go. He's also withstood electrocutions, gunshots, puncture wounds, as well as falls from several stories, you know, and then just got up and he was okay. He's got superhuman reaction and times and reflexes where it's possible for him to easily dodge multiple gunshots at point blank range simultaneously. He's got superhuman stamina where he can fight at peak conditions for hours at a time. He's got superhuman strength equal to Captain America. I actually think strength wise, both characters are very much equivalent.
I agree.
Okay, cool. So we're on the same page.
They're both as strong.
That's correct. Now, he's got peak human speed, where he can run up to 32 miles per hour. He's also got high resistance to telepathic manipulation. And there's more. He's a superhuman acrobat. He's a master of stealth. We can appear from place to place without being detected. I'll mention how he does that, by the way, later on. And this one I'd also label superpower. The Winter Soldier has what is called an accelerated development process. And this is kind of weird. He's got an ability to learn at a crazy super speed in which he learns at levels greater than what is called naturally possible for a human being. And what that means is he'll be able to quickly assess like a situation that he's not familiar with. He'll be able to create a strategy, come up with tactics, and learn how to deal with it. When you're in the Marvel Universe, you're facing Spider-Man at one moment, then all of a sudden you're facing the Hulk, then you've got Storm from the X-Men. You've got to always kind of figure out what to do at the moment and be able to learn from it and take on your opponent, you know, from out of the blue. So with all these abilities, I really think the Winter Soldier matches up really well against the Witcher. Probably surpasses him. That's my point number one.
I mean, that's fine. You say a lot of things. You know, Winter Soldier is a future combat kind of a guy. He's military trained, and he has a robot arm. And that's fantastic. Now, for a guy with a robot arm, we've already agreed, they have the exact same level of strength. What does that say about how weak Bucky is that with a robot arm, they're the same?
Actually, I only agreed that they had the same amount of strength. I never said with the cybernetic arm.
I believe it was implied.
Okay. All right. Now, let's go ahead and hit our point number two, right?
Okay, absolutely. Well, first off, does our judge have any questions about all that nonsense you just threw at us?
So, yeah, I do have a question.
Thank
actually.
You.
Okay. Because, okay, so basically they're both equally strong, right?
Correct.
We have that. Okay. And they both are equally speedy. It sounds like yours is speedy, Witcher's speedy, and yours is speedy.
Correct.
Are they equally fast?
I'd say they're on par.
I think they're about the same. Yeah. When we talk about fast, we talk about combat speed. How fast would they be in a battle environment? And what I really liked about this battle is even though they're two very different characters, physically with attributes, I think they're both virtually identical, except one, you know, has their own set of powers and the other has the other. So it's just a matter of who gets over based on what extra they bring to the table.
Yours is a sorcerer. Yours
That's
is
correct.
A swordsman. Does yours have one specific thing? Does your Winter Soldier have one specific thing that he's excellent at?
He has many things he's excellent
at.
So
he's really good at dying in World War II, I know that.
Oh, well, we'll get to dying for the Witcher soon enough.
He's telepathic.
He's not telepathic. He can resist telepathy. The one thing about the Winter Soldier is that he's got enhancements.
Durability
is definitely one of the big ones. He's got enhancements that give him a physicality definitely on par with Captain America. His cybernetic arm, which I'll get into later, actually gives him a little bit of an edge in certain areas as well. Point number two, right?
Point number two, and I just want to talk to you a little bit more about Witcher being a hunter, as well as some of the potions. Because one of the big things that the Witcher does in the Witcher video games is he has an entire assortment of potions. I mentioned before that part of the Witcher training is the fact that they are immune to diseases as well as poisons, which is good because most of the potions that the Witchers brew themselves and then bring to the battlefield would be poisonous to normal people. It's essentially like, what if this poison is so good, but it also lets you see in the dark? Well, because I'm immune to poisons, it works for me, but if any other person on the street tried to drink it, then that's it for them. So some of the various potions and oils that he brings to the table that he tends to have with him for all of these fights. First off, he brings a litany of sword oils. So he's never without a whole bunch of sword oils. And what those do is they either act as poisons of their own, or they act as something that causes irritation on the skin, or just causes more damage, makes the sword a little bit sharper. And he's always got those oils at the ready, and they last for, I don't know, about 5 minutes, I believe, worth of combat, which should be enough time to take out Bucky, I figure. The other potions that he would drink that he brings to the table, and there's a handful of them I thought would be important for this battle. He's got one called DeVries Extract, which allows him to see through walls. So if Bucky's trying to like hide among trees, if Bucky's trying to like hide among a city type area, wherever the heck we happen to be fighting, he will not be able to hide. I know you want to try to pretend that your stealth is going to work here, but Geralt is literally one of the handful of characters in all of fiction that you really cannot sneak up on. Additionally, he has a potion called Petri's Filter, which just enhances his magic, which I'll get to in point number three. I'll save the magic till the very end because that's the most exciting part, but just understand that everything he can do with magic can be enhanced through the potions. He has one called Willow, and if he drinks the Willow, it means that he cannot be knocked down, and he's also immune to being stunned. So if we get into a situation where we're trading punches back and forth to the head, which I think is very likely in a scenario like this, Bucky is a character who can absolutely be kind of staggered and stunned, but if the Witcher has this potion, and he always does, he's unable to be affected by that stuff. He's also got some bombs with him. Wow, he's got one called the Devil's Puffball, which creates a poison cloud all around him. But Witchers are immune to poison, so that's okay. Bucky's not immune to poison, to my knowledge, which means that if we're fighting in a poison cloud, one of us has a strong advantage. Another one's called Dragon's Dream, which creates a flammable gas in the area around us. Think about like leaving the stove on, like leaving the gas on the stove. Boy, if one of these two characters had the ability to conjure fire, that could be a pretty big deal. We'll get to that in point number three. We also have Zarakanian Sun, which blinds your opponent. Fantastic. It's like a little flashbang that causes blindness. And then the last one is called Northern Wind, which if he is able to hit his opponent with it, will cause him to freeze, like with ice. And they're frozen, and they can't move. And that's really good against human-type opponents. That would be really, really good against Bucky the Winter Soldier. And that is my point number
very
two.
Convincing. So, first of all, did we even say who won round one?
Well, you're just going to mark down who you think, and you're going to reveal that soon.
Oh, okay. I thought I should say that. All right. Okay. Sorry. Continue. You're very convincing, though. I feel like you've done this before.
Once or twice.
Once or twice. All right. Man, I've got a couple of questions. Okay. Number one, I'm just wondering, does Winter Soldier wear, like, I don't know, a mask, and he also has like a visor over his eyes. Just wondering if he has those kind of protective devices in case he ever runs into opponents.
No, here's my question. Whenever I see him in the thing, that doesn't look like a gas mask. It just looks like a bandana. And a bandana does not protect you from poison, but a gas mask does. Are you saying he's wearing a gas mask?
I'm saying he's wearing something that's high tech.
He's wearing a high tech bandana is what I hear you saying.
I don't think it's a high, really. So you're talking about someone who's wearing body armor and he's like, now my face, where I could really get damaged, I think I'm just going to make this a fashion statement of a bandana.
You know, I've seen the Watchmen TV show, and the future cops there wear all kinds of armor and so fancy bandanas on their face.
If he's wearing
sense.
A bandana, then what you're saying is like the Witcher's using essential oils on his sword and massage oils on him.
For a Witcher's craft, these oils are very essential, so I will agree with you. Yes.
I know you have a collection of essential oils at home. I'm not judging you on that, but here's
just
the deal.
Sword oil, yeah.
That's fine enough. Sorry. Okay, how long does it take for a potion to take effect, and how long does it last?
It's pretty much instantaneous, and the Witchers have a point where they can use them in combat. This is part of what they train for. I mean, he's trained for over 100 years to fight as this person. And this person uses potions in battle. So if he sees himself in a situation, and you actually see this in the TV show pretty quickly, when he needed to enhance his magic in the scene in the ballroom, and he immediately just reaches in, pop, and then does it, and it's very, very fast. Both of these characters are very fast. Neither is so fast to the point that the Witcher couldn't grab a sip of his specific potion.
I'd agree
if
with that.
He needed to.
It totally reminded me of someone downing a 5-hour energy drink.
100%, that's what it is.
Yeah, that's totally, okay. All right, let me go to my point number two.
Sure.
By the way, I do believe that the visor, that the mask is actually, you know, something he would use because it was a military design thing from the Soviet Union. I totally believe that was something that would help him withstand gas attacks.
Sure.
Okay, now, with that being said, point number two. Let's go for it. It's low-tech versus no-tech.
Okay.
All right, so, again, Witcher's got, you know, magical potions, supernatural abilities, all that kind of good stuff, but they don't complete with a wide array of tech and weaponry that the Winter Soldier has on him at any one time. So the Winter Soldier always has a modified handgun capable of penetrating strong body armor, a combat knife, and a sniper rifle as standard equipment. On top of that, he has almost like a Batman level of gadgetry on him, such as a grappling rope, explosive charges, a mask that allows him to map out the environment and see through objects, knockout gas grenades, smoke grenades, as well as regular grenades, because those are cool, wall scaling gear. He has that really cool cybernetic arm that further enhances his already kind of super strength, enhances his durability and offensive capability. The arm also, like I said, increases his super strength, can project holograms. I wonder if the Witcher's ever seen holograms before. Has a sensory display of the immediate environment to detect if anything is hiding or if there are any traps that are hidden. Can emit also a huge stream of flame. Has a super powerful electrical discharge that can take out superhuman opponents. So if he just grabs someone, touches them, or someone grabs him, just touches them, shocks them and like horribly, knocks him out, takes him out. He has a retractable blade on that arm. The arm itself is also super durable. Black Panther's vibranium claws couldn't damage them. And it's also very highly resistant to gunfire and explosions of all types. By the way, this is the coolest part, the arm can be detached and be operated from a distance like a remote-controlled car via cyber... I know, it was ridiculous. I'm reading
does
the comic
books. Does it fly? How does that work?
It doesn't fly. I guess it's like, you know, like...
Is it like the Evil Dead where it crawls along
correct,
the ground?
Correct, absolutely.
Well, that's not going to be a challenge whatsoever. You know?
Really? Okay, we'll see. However, the Winter Soldier also has protection against the Witcher's biggest weakness. There was something so powerful, so menacing, that it completely took out and killed the Witcher, I believe, in one of the books, but would most likely not affect the Winter Soldier at all. Ray, can you guess what that is?
The power of love.
Close. It's a pitchfork.
Okay.
Yeah. So in one of the books, the Witcher is killed by one of the townsfolk with a pitchfork.
And killed is probably a strong word.
It is a strong word.
He isn't dead. That doesn't actually kill him.
It takes him out,
he
right?
does get removed from that. And that is... And to be fair, let me tell the story of this, because James is, of course, being James Gavsey and not telling the full truth. What happened is a whole bunch of, if I'm getting this correct, a whole bunch of regular townsfolk got killed by a monster. Geralt shows up and he kills the monster, and then the rest of the townsfolk show up and see a bunch of dead townsfolk and only Geralt alive, and they go, that Witcher is killing our townsfolk, get him. And the entire town attacks Geralt at once. And yes, the power of, what, dozens if not 100 people on top of one man with a sword? Yes, they were able to overpower him, eventually stabbing him with the pitchfork. The tragedy of Geralt that he is so misunderstood.
If only Geralt had, like, I don't know, like a grappling rope like Winter Soldier does, or, you know, could project holograms to fool people like Winter Soldier does, or, I don't know, could, like, use his cybernetic arm to help him climb up walls because he's got scaling gear and all that kind of stuff and get out of there, or distraction and everything. Oh, yeah, that's right. Winter Soldier has all that. And by the way, the Winter Soldier also has one more thing, and that is body armor, which provides protection against crazy things like pitchforks. Which is just insane. So with all of the tech, the gear, the explosives, the tech from the cybernetic arm, this is where the Winter Soldier has a distinct advantage over the Witcher. That's my point number two.
And I love a lot of what you're saying right there.
Go ahead. Okay, the one thing, you have a lot of the tech stuff and the weapon stuff. But if you can create a poisonous cloud right away, can't that just automatically kill you?
Again, he's got the visor.
He's got a bandana. Will that protect him? Thank you.
Can the bandana protect him?
You're listening. I like that. Thank you.
It's not a bandana.
Can the bandana protect him?
Well, actually, here's the cool part. He actually also has a regenerative health factor as well. So he heals very, very quickly.
So he'll be weakened by it, so Witcher can just kill him a different way. No, that's what he's trying to say.
Oh, that's cool.
My only concern is you have a lot of gadgets like a Batman does, but if you have that ability to create poison to kill an actual human, eventually that... If that cloud of poison, wouldn't that kind of eventually get through to the bandana?
Wouldn't that work eventually, James?
Here's the thing.
I'm wondering if
only the Winter Soldier had, you know, gas grenades, like knockout grenades too, that he could use, or flamethrowers, or electrical charge.
We've already established that wouldn't work.
But those are all gadgets, right? Mm-hmm. Because if he creates some type of poison in a cloud, how do you really defend against that? If he rips off your bandana in the fight, what if he gets to rip off that bandana? That is a great point.
The way you defend that is use a gun to shoot him from a distance. Remember, the Winter Soldier has firearms,
right,
and a lot of long-range weaponry. So how long would the gas have to take to get to him? And by the way, the gas wouldn't be instant to take him out because he's got the healing factor and the durability.
Right.
He would have time, as he's done before, a number of comic books, to kind of, as he's being weakened, to still take out that person using the electricity from the charge from his arm or from the gas gadget, the gas grenades, or a number of other different ways he could do it.
And then let me say, and I agree 100% with what you're saying right now, I would continue down that road of thought because that's real sharp. A couple of things that James said I want to destroy right now is you talk a little bit about, what if he had a grappling hook? Geralt does have a grappling hook. He actually used that grappling hook and he put it in the eye of a dragon. We think of dragons, we think of large creatures. And he was able, just using his raw strength, to use that to judo flip the dragon over his shoulder and throw the dragon over his shoulder, which is a mean feat for anyone of any strength. The other thing is James talks about these holograms that Bucky can apparently project that I've never seen anywhere, but I'll believe you. Geralt's enhanced senses wouldn't allow himself to be fooled by a hologram because holograms don't give off sense. Holograms are purely visual, so maybe they're even auditory, but there's other aspects of them, and that would be the sense of smell that he would be able to see, like, well, clearly that's not giving me any kind of an odor. That must not be real. And he's dealt with those types of magical creatures which can kind of create a imagery and phantasm in front of them. So this is not anything he wouldn't see. I'll actually go back to quote Arthur C. Clarke here, that any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. What that basically means is my magic is just as good as your science, if not better, because it's magic.
Here's the deal. Again, your points are excellent. I just wish he would have used that grappling hook to, like, you know, escape the pitchfork.
It's hard to do that when you're in the middle of a town square. He's not Spider-Man. There's not 10-story high buildings he can just swing from.
So how,
he's in a medieval village.
He didn't have a way to fool anybody to kind of create a distraction to get out of
it. James, I don't know if you've ever been surrounded by 100 angry
villagers. I'm from Ottawa, Canada. Jennifer, you can vouch that happens on a daily basis.
That's a hard situation to get out of, unless you have the ability to jump or fly, which...
Luckily, Winter Soldier has those acrobatics. We're at the turning point.
He's the least naive character ever.
At 100 years old, right?
That's he's over 100.
That's by the way, Bucky is also, or Winter Soldier, he's like 80-something,
right? He's like frozen for most
of
it.
That's true. That's a good point. That's right. Now, we're at the turning point, and Jennifer, this is where you tell us who you think is ahead in the fight and what the other side has to do to pull out the victory.
This is, you know, you guys have done this so many, you know what? You guys are both very good. You're very convincing.
Well, thank you so much.
There you are.
You can say I won. I mean, that's okay, too. I mean, you know, that convinced.
Initially, when we started, I was going to automatically give it to the Winter Soldier or you because it was much more, I could understand it better. It was much more tactile. But then you really pull out some really good points that make it seem like that the Winter Soldier is much more human than have a lot of like defenses, like tech and weaponry, like a Batman. And yours is much more
supernatural,
mythical and supernatural.
Yeah. And I believe you're picking up what I'm throwing down right here, and I appreciate that.
Supernatural, I would feel, supersedes human.
I agree. Yeah.
So far, but a lot of the points that you said, he can't, Winter Soldier can counter it. So, I don't know. So far, I have to say The Witcher is a little ahead.
Fair enough. I'm wondering.
The supernaturalness of it all, like the magic, the mystique.
So if I showed a way for him to take out someone who was like ultimate supernatural powered, would that help convince you?
It would.
Okay, now. Are you ready for point number three? This
yes,
is the
I
final
am.
Point. All right, Ray, hit us with what you got.
Point number three, I just want to talk for a moment about, and I've been sandbagging a little bit, I've only been telling you about the basic stuff about Geralt of Rivia. Let's talk about how he's a magic user, and about the actual magic, beyond just the mystical alchemy potions that he's been putting together, as well as the impressive combat abilities and physical prowess. He has what are called the signs, and he can conjure each of these signs in order to do specific things in the field of battle. And I'm just going to go down the list of what the signs are, and you can see how some of these would probably be effective in this particular battle, among other things. The first off is a sign called Ard. And what Ard is, it's a power of telekinesis. It's a power of a wave of energy that he can project basically from his hands. So if somebody's coming up on him, he could shove them backwards, just basically thinking about it, poof, and then they get flying through a wall, flying through the air, hit a wall, take a little bit of damage that way. But the other cool thing he can do about it is if Bucky has these guns, and I was thinking, like, how do you defeat a guy who's got guns? Well, easy. He has the Ard power, and he's shown in battle before with people with swords and other types of hand weapons, a gun is a hand weapon, is that he can focus that telekinetic power, and he can knock the weapon from the hands of whoever's facing him. So if Bucky the Winter Soldier pulls out an Uzi or a submachine gun, all he has to do is just wave his hand like that, and boom, he can force power, essentially using the force. He's like Darth Vader is what I'm trying to say. He can use the force to just knock that gun right out of his hands, thus evening the battlefield. The second sign is called Igni, and that's the power of control over fire. He can create fire, and then he can use fire. Remember before when I mentioned he can create a flammable cloud in the air around him? Well, he can do that with one of his potions, which allows him to then use the Igni sign to ignite that and create a giant fireball the size of a room in the direction that he wants, like, I don't know, at the Winter Soldier's bandana, for example, melting it off of his face. Question?
My question is, why didn't you pull up the fire piece in round one? Because you would have just demolished.
Because I wait till round three or we don't have a show.
Okay, true. But the thing is, if he can create fire, then isn't the human with the nice gadgetry done?
I agree.
We can keep going. Keep going with your point,
I'm
going
to keep going with the other signs here, because there's a few more I would like to get into, but I love the way you're thinking here. He has one called Irden, which is, he creates traps. Essentially, it allows him to freeze somebody in place just using the powers of his mind. Again, it's not quite the freeze potion, but it's a different way that he could lock Bucky in place to hit him however he wants to.
Poor Bucky.
He's got one called Quen, which allows him to put a gigantic shield up around himself. So if gunfire is coming in, or Bucky's coming in with some sort of big old power attack, he throws up the Quen shield and boom, it's like a force field. It can block anything coming in. He also has one called Axel, which allows him to mind control and stun people using the powers of his mind. Bucky is a character who has been brainwashed. Bucky is a character who is definitely able to be controlled through the powers of the mind. And this particular Axel power allows him to mind control people, and Bucky is susceptible. The last two really quick, Heliotrope is a secondary defensive shield that he can do even quicker. It's not as powerful, but he doesn't need to, he can do it a lot faster, kind of in the blink of an eye. And the last one is Somni, which allows him to put his opponents to sleep. All of these magic powers together are just things that Bucky the Winter Soldier does not have an answer for. If he's not going to be set on fire or hit with a poison cloud or trapped in place and just cut to ribbons by his two swords, he's definitely going to get mind controlled, because Bucky will get mind controlled, and that is my point number three.
That's a good point to use.
All right, may I? First of all, force power, which is really cool, actually won't make him drop a gun out of his cybernetic arm. The reason why is the cybernetic arm is more powerful than even he is, and he's already got superhuman strength, and that cybernetic arm is actually holding the device. It's actually, there's like some type of sensor or some type of device that actually, it's not magnets, but it's actually like he holds onto it with like super strength. So a regular thing against even a strong human, where the force, that kind of force power is used, I could definitely see that launching the weapon out of the hand. Don't see that working with that cybernetic arm.
I honestly think it would just rip his arm straight off his body, but also any bullets coming at him, he could easily use that force power to push those bullets off to the side. So
I doubt, because the bullets are kind of travel super fast, and okay, that one's iffy. But you gotta remember, Winter Soldier has body armor, right?
Sure.
So, you know, he shoots fire. He's kind of got body armor that helps him kind of protect him from the fire. He's super durable.
We'll his hair is exposed, isn't it?
Yeah, but so
when his hair catches fire, that's not going to go very well, is it?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to care.
He doesn't wear armor on his hair.
He was trained in the Soviet Union on top of being a crazy good fighter. Oh, no, my hair's on fire. I'm just going to keep on fighting.
I know no person who says, oh, my hair's on fire. That's fine. I'm going to keep on fighting.
If we go back to Ottawa, there's at least 10 people you could name right now, right? Who could, who've had their hair set.
Minimum.
That's the thing we do in kindergarten.
Yes.
And then finally, the mind control actually won't work. And the reason why is because now that he's working with S.H.I.E.L.D., now that he's working or has been working with S.H.I.E.L.D. for years, S.H.I.E.L.D.'s that big government organization,
yeah, I know
right?
S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay, here we go. S.H.I.E.L.D. actually has given him some like telepathic blocks to help him not be mind controlled again that same way. So that he has that telepathic.
That same way. So you're saying a different way, like a magical way, would probably work, maybe just not a science way.
You know, what is magic except for science that people haven't figured out yet? All right, now
I believe I made that point earlier.
That's true. Let me get to my point number three. Now, before we even start, you got to remember that the Winter Soldier has the Infinity Serum. I think that's the thing that keeps him young and also helps him. It's what the original Nick Fury had for decades that kept him at that same age. So Winter Soldier has that now. That's also helped him to further be enhanced and kind of have that durability and resistance to injury. Now, but my point number three, training, tactics, and technical ability. Here we go. So again, the Witcher's got a crazy amount of training. However, his main proficiency is taking out monsters and people of that era, correct? Okay.
Sure.
Okay, this is where things get even more interesting because the Winter Soldier's main proficiency is taking out super powerful opponents, and that's a big difference. Even before he became a Winter Soldier, Bucky Barnes was labeled as the best natural fighter in history by General Phillips of the U.S. military. That was the guy who was in charge of Captain America's training. Through his training and natural aptitude, the Winter Soldier became an expert in the field of espionage, stealth, demolition, survival. He was able to avoid detection from Wolverine by overloading his senses of smell so he couldn't be pinpointed. He figured that out super quick and said, got it, I can't escape, you know, his senses, so I'm just going to put too much smell around me and pull a race to Canis, and therefore he won't be able to find me. All right. He's also an advanced military operator and is skilled in all armed forces disciplines, including intelligence gathering, escape arts, and assassinations. He's a master spy, master tactician, master assassin, and weapons master of every weapon you can think of. He's had training from the finest minds of the U.S. military, the SAS, the Soviet Union, and that's on top of all the training with Captain America. Now, what has he been able to do with all this training and tactical ability? Well, he's been able to fight well above his weight class. See, the Winter Soldier's beaten the Punisher, Black Widow, the Taskmaster. By the way, that's one of Ray's favorites.
I do like all those people.
Yeah, they're awesome. He's beaten Hawkeye and the Falcon at the same time and only took him a few moves, to do it. He fought and beat Captain America. Now, Captain America did beat him as well. And he even defeated Wolverine. However, there's one victory in particular. This is to your point where Winter Soldier's, this is really what's going to put him over the top. See, the Winter Soldier has beaten this character called Ares, the actual god of war. He's a character in Marvel Comics that has, he's not as, I'd say he's in the Thor class, right? And this is a regular kind of superhuman person. Right. And the way he did it is, you know, he took him on an unexpected encounter, had to figure out his tactics, used his tech, used his array of sensors, his cool bandana, everything. And with on the spot, no preparation, took him out in kind of like in a who would win fight. So as powerful as the Witcher is, he's no god of war. Literally, the god of war from Zeus and everything. So with his super strength, his endurance, his tactical ability, his cybernetics, his training, I just think, and plus the fact he took out the god of war, I'm pretty sure the Witcher is kind of like a cool afternoon activity for the Winter Soldier. That's my point number three.
And I just have a couple of follow-up points. I'm gonna make those points really, really quick. First off, he was called the greatest fighter by somebody who belonged to the 1940s U.S. Army. He hadn't exactly seen a whole heck of a lot at that point. So I guess one guy who's good in your platoon, you look at that guy and you think, boy howdy, he's probably the best fighter I've ever seen. Who have you seen? Nobody in the 1940s. Superheroes don't exist yet.
That's true. It's not, you know, that's not true. There was one other person. Oh yeah, that was right. It was two people. It was Black Widow and Nick Fury, the one we know, who said that he's amongst, if not the most dangerous person on the planet.
That's fine. The other thing I would say is the character of Ares, he talks about this guy. Now look, Captain America once had a story arc where he fought the devil. Like, things got weird at a certain point in history. My question is, in Marvel Comics, who did Ares ever beat?
Ares beat tons of people.
Who did Ares fight that would impress me?
Oh, let's see. He fought the Hulk. He fought Sentry.
He beat Sentry.
He beat the Red Hulk. He beat She-Hulk. He beat...
He didn't beat the Hulk or Sentry, did he?
Did he beat the Hulk? I was going to say, did he beat the Hulk?
He did not beat the Hulk.
This is She-Hulk.
There's a She-Hulk, who's also pretty impressive.
She-Hulk is great. I'm just saying, like...
No, his power is described as being able to churn the tide of war.
That's fine.
And everything that kind of goes with it. He's got super strength. He's Thor class. He's fought Thor. He's fought a number of the gods, and he's been in space fighting like crazy powerful space aliens.
He's a walking hyperbole. From the early days of comics when they got a little weird.
We're talking early days. We're talking about like 3 years ago.
That's the early days of comics. There's a whole lot of comics in front of us, James. Unless you think the comics industry is going to die tomorrow, I think there's a lot more in front of us.
Oh my gosh. So the Witcher books are from where? The 90s?
80s.
Fair enough.
So my point here, and the last thing I'm just going to say in my final rebuttal before we go to the final decision, which of course you have, is James has brought up a lot of good points, and I feel very strongly that I have shown through evidence that The Witcher would absolutely dismantle Bucky through a variety of ways. I think his tactics on the battlefield are stronger. He's a savvier individual, and he has all kinds of superpowers along with his oils, his potions, and his magic. I've outlined at least 3 or 4 different ways, including the mind control, the fire, the poison gas, all these ways that definitely Geralt would use, has used, and would use here to defeat Bucky. I'm going to go ahead and pass it over to the final decision here.
I feel like this is like where Mike Bloomberg says, you know, I'm raised a Canis and I approve of this message. All right. Listen, we're going back. I like it.
Yeah, let's go ahead and go to the final.
This is now on you. So you've got to tell us, who do you think wins this fight? Give us your process. Use your judgment. Who wins this battle?
Hold on a second. Can we just...
They're conferring right now. Is it conferring or conferring?
Conferring.
In French, it's actually a conference. Do you confer at a conference, or do you go to a conference to confer?
I can confirm that I don't care.
I concur.
I've got a couple questions. I mean, not questions. This is where I'm getting really stuck on. It's because I do feel it's like the supernatural versus superhuman, right? Because even with the flame coming out of the arm, it's still not creating fire and throwing fire and having the ability to do mind control, and you can't. And then you can't put your opponents to sleep. And I mean, there's so...
That's true. I do think that those are all great things. I'm just wondering how The Witcher would do against, I don't know, the mythical god of war from, you know, Greek mythology. Just a little
bit. But also the god of war, the god of war never beat the Hulk.
No, but he is like what's called class 100. He's in Hulk class. So he's beaten like a lot, like Iron Man, She-Hulk. Yeah, a lot of very powerful opponents. Yeah. Like Hulk is one thing. It's hard to actually have a good victory over the Hulk, right?
Very few people do. Yeah. Basically just Ant-Man, near as I can tell.
Ant-Man, right.
He did one time.
That's true.
It's stupid, but
that's right.
Because no one could beat the Hulk, basically, is what you're
it's
saying.
Real hard.
It's real hard. Yeah.
Real hard.
So of all time, the Hulk is the biggest and baddest of all time?
He's amongst them. That he's in that league.
Okay. Now, where is the God of War?
I'd say he's just below.
Okay. And where would you say Captain America is? There's a reason why I'm asking these questions.
Captain America, I'd say, in terms of strength and everything else, is below Spider-Man.
I think they're roughly on par with each other. I mean, definitely Bucky is under Captain America. Or at least on par.
I would say on par with Captain America. It's so close. How long do I have to kind of figure this out?
You have 10 seconds.
Okay.
I mean, what? Okay. Whatever your process looks like, you know.
Okay. Okay, Dylan, what do you think? Just in my ear. Don't say it out loud. Who do you think? Quickly in my ear.
Ray, I'm not feeling confident about this. How are you feeling?
I have no idea.
This is crazy. I was pulling the Canadian thing, but, you know, I don't think that's working.
Never does.
No, never does, right?
The American thing never works for me.
Really? Should we just stop, like, the whole country thing and just kind of come together as a people?
No.
Fair enough.
Okay, Dylan, we're at a crossroads. I'm going to give it to the Winter Soldier.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
I'm going to give it to him, too.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah, I'm definitely going to give it to him. I'm personally shocked by this. Why? You've given us every reason why you thought the Witcher should win. Do you really think a one-off shot against Ares, who's really just put out there to be a token chump, in the case of Bucky, to put Bucky over and make Bucky look good, was that really the only deciding factor that caused you to feel
I'll
this way?
I'll tell you why, actually. Why?
She has notes. This is impressive.
I'm loving to see it.
No. I'm going to tell you what. Actually, hold on a second. Yeah, I'm going to tell you what. Because everything that you said, he can't. Oh, actually, you know what?
No, too late.
Well, what do you want? No, you haven't made a decision.
It's not too late. It's not too late.
Actually, I made a mistake. I meant The Witcher, not the fight.
Thank you very much. Okay, see, it didn't make a lot of sense to me for all of the things we've bonded on over this moment for you to say Winter Soldier.
Because I got confused with where my notes were.
I blame Ottawa, Canada for this.
No, it was The Witcher, and I have good reason. The fact that, I'm telling you, I cannot over, supernatural always will supersede and win. Superhuman, he can create fire, he can use the fire, he can control your mind was already brainwashed,
You're pointing at me like it's a me thing. I have not been brainwashed before, actually. It's a good observation.
Sleep. He also has...
Ray has put me to sleep, yep.
It's true.
He also has forces, and he can, like Darth Vader, he can, like, use his mind and forces to push energy. There's too many...
Ray does repel people, correct.
I've been known. I'm very powerful.
He's able to do way too much that's beyond the superhuman. I know that you've been trained by everybody. You have every kind of ability to be the greatest, like... MI6 possible, but it's still, you're still human. So,
all right, I'm gonna say that.
Let me go ahead and say thank you. I thought you'd made a huge mistake. I'm glad we had a chance to correct
it. I meant The Witcher. I was looking. I felt bad. He's Canadian. He's
I know.
So nice.
And listen, our audience also often feels bad for James. Wait,
Dylan, who did you vote for?
You.
Thank you. Yeah. Did you vote for me or the Winter Soldier or both of us?
I voted for the Winter Soldier.
Oh, not me. Got it. All right. Well, you know what? I take that as a moral victory. Thank you, Dylan. You're a great man. That's all I'm going to say. All right. I'm not going to say. No, you're. You know what?
And you're so Canadian, you apologize.
You apologize
to
the
judge. My wife is Canadian. I can appreciate this.
Okay, thank you.
She never apologizes to me, though, so I don't know.
And you made such a compelling argument, the
Thank you. Thank you.
He has his notebook. He's so passionate. He really went above and beyond.
Thank you.
And he explained it in such layman's terms for someone like
He does myself. That. He does. He does have a way of speaking to the lowest common denominator. That's true.
I speak for the people, to the people, as I am of the people.
Ray is the Burger King of who would win, right? Yes. He's like, everyone can go in and enjoy.
And
I
like Burger King, so I guess it
really?
Works. I like the Whoppers.
$1.49
oh my God.
For 10 nuggets,
fitness,
you can't go wrong.
A fitness expert, is it? Okay.
Listen, not on the regular, but if I had to choose between something, between a McDonald's and a Burger King it'd be Burger King.
I mean, I don't blame you.
I'm not really sure what's happening here. All right, Ashley, all kidding aside, I think you did a great job as judge. Thank you so much for doing it. Did you have fun?
I had fun, yes.
That's good. That's all we can hope for.
It was. I loved it. It was so. You guys had such passion over this stuff. And the fact that you have such knowledge over all these characters is mind-blowing.
I know. My wife is really impressed.
I mean...
With not this.
No.
That's not a thing. She's not yours either. Right?
No,
we're not. Yeah, at dinner parties when she says, "What, you know, tell me what your husband does," and then, you know, it gets quiet. Jennifer, again, great job. I disagree 100% with your decision, but your brilliant son is awesome. Please go ahead and tell everyone where they can find you.
They can go on Instagram at The Real Jen Cohen, or I guess Twitter at The Real Jen Cohen, or jennifercohen.com for my website, and Habits and Hustle, which is my podcast, and that's it.
Very cool. Ray, please tell our listeners where they can find you.
You can find me at Almighty Ray on Twitter. Let's celebrate Geralt of Rivia, this fantastic character from this fantastic game, TV show, and series of Polish novels. Guys, I know what you're saying out on Twitter, even though, you know, maybe I don't always read all of your terrible, terrible comments. And I have a feeling that you said, if you lose with Geralt of Rivia, I will lose all respect for you forever. So what I would like to say right now to the people is, suck it, nerds. Thank you.
Wow. Way to keep it family friendly there. You can find me posing my patented question of the day on Twitter at James Gabsy. Remember to join the official Who Would Win Facebook group to make a suggestion for a matchup for the show and to be part of our growing community. You can also find us on Instagram at Who Would Win Show and check out the Who Would Win website at www.whowouldwinshow.com to access all of our podcast episodes. On behalf of myself, Ray Cicanus, and the rest of the amazing Who Would Win team, thank you once again for listening to another episode of Who Would Win. We'll see you next time.